wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Aaron, here with you on ESPN 97.5. We've got a nice little show for you as we get ready for Game 6 of the World Series tonight. We're going to have Jimbo Fisher join us again this week.
That's how you get ready for the World Series, Jimbo.
Well, that's not how. We're also going to have Jimbo Fisher as they get ready for Auburn.
Give me another guess that's going to get us ready for this big game.
Michael Kelly Jr.
That's good.
Doug Stamper.
Yeah, he's on ready. House of Cards. On what's the other one where Jim Halper attacks people on Amazon?
Dawn of the Dead?
What's that?
Jack Ryan?
Jack Ryan.
He was in Dawn of the Dead, too.
The Comey
Dawn
rule.
Of the Dead, just also. Dawn of the Dead also, not Dawn of the Dead number two.
Okay.
And Law and Order he's been on, which is...
Lots of stuff. The reason he's on, John, is he is... you know, he's good friends with Eric Layton. They did Generation Kill. They did Generation Kill together. He was on our podcast like a year and a half ago. He is an awesome guy. Like, so much fun to talk to. And a monster Atlanta Braves fan. He's been a Braves fan since he was a little kid. From Atlanta. Like, he's not one of those fans who, not that there's anything wrong with it, a lot of us, when you grew up with basic cable, you became either a fan, for most people, certainly in my generation, you became a fan of the Braves or the Cubs as a secondary team. Like, the Astros were my team, but I was also a fan of the Cubs because I would watch them during the afternoon, during the summer. So, you know, I was a Cubs fan too, and that was, you know, National League West, National League East, and that was it. There wasn't as many divisions that you were going to find, but... he is a lifelong Atlanta Braves fan, so we'll talk to him about this series, Braves and Astros. And we'll talk to Sage Rosenfels about the World Series, and we'll get his thoughts on that instead of the Texans, because he might have better thoughts on that instead of the Texans.
Yeah, you know, it struck me this morning, and I can't believe that it's going to be true, but this could be the last time that we see this foursome together, this infield together. It's the last. This could be the last time. Bregman, Correa, Altuve,
last
and
game
Gurriel.
Could have been.
Yeah. Well, I know that, but it's not. This could be the last game that there. And I don't know. It'll be difficult for people to say goodbye to Correa, I guess, if the Braves win it, because they're going to be celebrating on the Astros field. And so I don't know how fans could probably come down to the last out. It's not like you're going to be able to. Carlos can take a curtain call. You can go and substitute Aledmys Diaz in there for him or something and let him walk off the field, or, you know, because you're going to be fighting and clawing. Unless it's a blowout by the Braves, then maybe you can do that. But, you know, it's going to be awfully difficult to say goodbye for the people, to say goodbye to Carlos. Did you happen to – it was a good interview after the game on the field with A-Rod and Poppy and Frank Thomas. Did you see any of Carlos's interview?
After the last game?
Yeah.
I did not. Not last game.
So there was some good sound from it. Aaron's got some that he can play. And this is the one that probably gives you the most. This is the most famous of all of them. It was about a 5-minute interview with the guys. But this is probably the most famous of the sound bites, the one that's getting around right now. Oh, he doesn't have it ready. Okay. Asked about, you know, obviously coming back from being down 3-1, being able to win that game, coming back from being down in the first inning, and he says all of the things about this, but you can just feel the love that he has. And he talked about that. He said, you know, all of the times that we spent together, it's not just, you know, the World Series. It's spring training. We're together every single day. It's, you know, even in the office, or you know, they'll spend time together even on the road trips and everything else, that they spend time together in each other's hotel rooms. And, I mean, that you're going to end that after, you know, 6 years that Carlos has been here and been with these guys. It's going to be awfully difficult. But he did talk about, and I believe this, this team is so much better when their backs are against the wall. For whatever reason, we saw it all year long. Man, they can't hit. They're just terrible. Then they play a good team, and out of nowhere, they win that last game against the Yankees, against Cole in Yankee Stadium. They win that last game with Altuve right before the All-Star break, where he comes up with the home run to beat the Yankees right before the All-Star break. And it's not only those games, but there have been plenty of games that it's just like, wow, where did this come from after where you thought that they were? And it's the same thing in this series. Here's Carlos talking about them being down 3-1.
You know, it's not where you want to be going home, but, you know, we were down 3-1 before this game. Now we're 3-2, so we just got to go out there and focus on the next game. That's game six.
No, that wasn't the one. He reiterated that if there is a team that's down 3-1, it's this baseball team. And I believe that. I believe that. If there's a team that can come back, if there's a team, I don't know, Lance, you've watched so many Houston teams and everything else. And there have been so many teams, this is over.
There's one team, the Rockets.
And that's the one, that's right.
That's specific
exactly right.
Team, they did it.
They did it.
Butt kicking ink. Charles Barkley, you know, talking about butt kicking ink, and it came back to bite them. And the whole key to it is you got to play. You know, you can't win three games at once. You can only win a game at a time. It sounds cliched, but that has to be your mindset. It has to be your mindset when you're, you know, that's got to be your mindset when you play poker and you got a short stack. That's got to be your mindset when you are, you know, when you are down in the stock market and oh my God, we just lost money. That's got to be your mindset when you get a zero or a 40 on an exam, maybe not a zero, but a 40 on an exam early in a 6 weeks. And you say, you know what? It's not over. I can grind this out, get some notebook checks, get some easy quizzes here and get this thing up. It's the beginning of this. If you're the Kansas City Chiefs, it's about improving a 4-4 and trying to just put yourself in position to get into the playoffs. So if you're the Astros, it's real simple. You're down 3-1. All you have to do is win that one game, and all of a sudden it becomes 3-2, and you're at home. And Dusty Baker, for example, talked about this, John. Dusty said, you know, this is all the Astros could have hoped for, because once you take those baby steps, you give yourself a chance at the big game.
They know that we still have work to do, and, you know, like when we – I mean, you want to go up there, you want to win three and win there. And then, you know, when it didn't happen in game one and then in game two, you're behind the eight ball. Then you change your rally cry to, we just want to get back to the H-Town. You know, we want to go back home. And then now our whole thing is win game one, which is game six, and then put us in a position to win game seven.
And there you have it. I mean, all you're doing is the narratives change after every single game. All of a sudden, boy, if we just win one, we get back home. Now, as he said, it's game. He said game one is today, because that's a two-game series.
That's
it. They're just trying to sweep the two-game series. And this team just has the balls to do it. Like, you're down four. You spotted them four runs. You spotted them four runs and beat them by four runs. I mean, yeah, of all my years watching Houston sports teams, the reason this team is so awesome is that lifelong, Houston teams tend to choke. Like, the Oilers were just super talented and shrank at the biggest moments. The Rockets will always have a special place because of what they did. Not just, you know, it was kind of a box-to-wire situation in 94, but in the 95 title, and you were here covering it, John, I mean, you had to get through a gauntlet. You had to get through 360-win teams, and you did it from the sixth seed where you were on the road. And in one of the series, you got down 3-1 against the Suns. So, you know, guys like Robert Horry step up and make huge shots. Mario Elie. Well, you look at this, and you got Marwin Gonzalez stepping up. Machete steps up. It's the same kind of deal. History repeats itself. You just have to recognize what history looks like. And And, you know, that Rocket team, John, and once again, you were covering them when you were at Channel 51. Once they got that first game, it's just a matter of, okay, can you go and steal that game in Phoenix, that game six? And I remember my son Drake was – he wasn't being born that day. It was that night we were getting ready for him to be born. But I remember, you know, sitting there sweating the championship, and it's game six, and it wasn't a pretty game, but they ended up going to overtime and pulling it off. Even if you have to muddy it up and dirty it up,
who cares?
Yeah, you just feel like the Astros have guys that can do that. Look, I'll be honest. I think the Braves have guys that can do that too. They're a tough team. They've got some really good hitters. But it's just amazing in second series in a row how their offense comes out red hot. And then, you know, we talked about, well, what's happening with Yordan? What's happening with Bregman? Correa's not as hot as he was. What about Machete? Is he going to get it going? You look at the Braves lineup, and they started off hot. But then other than a couple back-to-back solo home runs off of Christian Javier, what is there in that one grand slam? Their offense really hasn't done anything for three games.
No, the bullpen has been awesome. You know, Carlos talked about that too. He said, you know, we haven't seen, and maybe this is some of it too, with the Astros versus the Braves, the Astros bullpen versus the Braves. When you got a starter, you're going to see him the first time up, you're going to see him the second time up. And Carlos talked about that. He said, we haven't seen the Braves all year. So seeing their bullpen guys for the first time, you know, we don't know them. So that's a pretty good point. Now you see them again. Really? Because the second time they're seeing these guys. Wow, they're starting to light them up. Holy crap! Look at what's going on. On around the horn, Jorge Sedano had this to say about the Braves giving the Astros offense time to figure it out.
But experience and execution. Look at the 2017 alumni of the Houston Astros, the guys who've been there, the guy who won a championship, the guys who won that championship. 9 of 20 yesterday, 6 RBI, 6 runs. Okay, here's the other thing. Phil Maton, their relief pitcher, he's kept them in a bunch of these games. 11 appearances in 15 postseason games, okay? 0.82 ERA, 13 strikeouts. And here's the part, execution. The Astros offense has awoken here all of a sudden. Look, through the first four games, Tony, they only had 11 runs. That's not the Astros that we've seen through this postseason. By the way, they still had more points, or runs in this case, than the Texans through halftime in the month of October yesterday. How about that for a stat? 11 runs versus 8 particular points for the Texans. But here's the deal. This thing is about the Astros figuring it out on offense. They are moving forward here, Tony. They're going to win this.
Everybody's moving forward.
I'm going to have to steal that soundbite.
I like his points. I like his points.
You hear all those points that were being racked up?
Yeah. You have to scream at Tony to get points.
You hear all those points that he was getting?
Yeah, how many points did he make?
Got a ton of points.
The Astros are hitting now. And Phil Maton is good. Oh, my God, you saw that Phil Maton's good? Give him all kinds of points.
And they score more points than the Texans. Don't mention Texans. Hey, when we come back, two things. We're going to hear from the starters tonight. Max
Fried. Jimbo Fisher's who we're going to hear from.
Well,
when we come
Jimbo's going to have to talk about Luis Garcia.
No, he's going to talk about Auburn. When we come back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, we're going to talk about Doc Linville and my hair. I'm in Vegas, and I don't know. I see people staring at my hair all the time, and it's like it's a little.
Are you doing hair flexes? Is that what you're doing at the poker
table?
I'm
not flexing. I just, you know what? It's just natural. It's Flavio. You know, it's just, you know, it's what it is. It is what it is, Lance. There's nothing I can do about it right now. I just feel good about it, and you know what? You're gonna feel good about your hair if you're looking for the best way to get this hair thing going back on. Okay, I don't know why you don't have hair. Okay. All I know is that I do, and I do because of Doc Linville, and you can too. All you have to do is go to 975hair.com. Please, 975hair.com. You're looking for the best way to do it. It's easy. It's simple. It's affordable. The results are fantastic. The doc is going. You're going to love the process. You're going to love the doc. You're going to love all of his assistants. You're going to love how simple this whole thing is. You want hair again? 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. 97.5.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, as we do every week, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. Well, not last week because the Aggs had the week off, but usually we have the coach on, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue and your home for the Aggies, ESPN 97.5. Coach, welcome to the show. What did you do last? Did you go to the beach? What did you do last weekend?
We worked on recruiting a lot, and we had three great practices Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Got back to a bunch of fundamental stuff. Worked a few schemes for the next four opponents that, you know, we broke down ahead of time that would be a little different things. You'll add in the game plan, just introduce them a little bit. And had, you know, I thought we had three really good practices, and then we recruited really hard at the beginning of the week and at the end of the week.
What did it mean to beat? Is it something that you were talking about in the houses, Coach? Is there still a buzz over that Alabama win?
Yeah, I think there's a confidence. I think you understand the process of how you got to do things. And like I say, when once confidence sets in and people really know they're capable of doing things, it's amazing how they grow and how quickly they grow. And they haven't let it be a one-game deal. They've understood, more importantly, not that they beat Alabama, but more importantly, how they beat Alabama and how they prepared and then how they played. And hope, and for the most part, you know, we've carried that on for the last 3 weeks, 2 weeks after that.
Is it making a difference in recruits' houses?
Oh, yeah, it definitely does. I mean, you're back to playing consistent football, know what you're capable of, and then once they get here and see the atmosphere, the environment, everything else that they have, not just football-wise, but school-wise, life after ball and all those things. And recruiting is, you know, we feel very good. We're in very good shape in recruiting, we feel.
I heard a story last week, Coach, about someone who was telling me, someone who's kind of close to the program, and said the story was that an unnamed player, I'm not going to name the player, but this player was never really checked. When you first came into the program, the player was never really checked, and you made a comment like, hey, you know what? This is the way we do things. There's the portal. If you don't like it, you can go. But the comment was basically, this is the way that we're going to do things. This is the process to get there. And if you're not on board, you can move along. And I'm kind of curious about, you know, if you think you have, is it a constant process to get this guy or that guy on board, or do you feel like you have everyone where you need them right now? Like, that's more of a process question, you know, but I'm just curious.
I think those are ever ongoing. I think the levels of people that are understanding because of their time in the program, things in which they do, and the success amount they've had. I mean, but I do believe this. They understand the way we have to do things. They know them. They know the way that we're going to have success, how we have to practice, how we have to do things. And that's it. I mean, you know, like anything, in any business, guys can go along and do well. And then the levels of how they think are a little bit different to each person. That's an individualism. But still, the ground basis of knowing what is right and what's wrong and what's acceptable and not acceptable, I think it's 100%. They know it. And they know when they don't do it right. And because, one, we let them know, and, two, I think the teammates are letting them know. And, you know, that's just the only way to have success is to do things right every day in all phases of what you're trying to do, not just on the field but off the field. And I think, you know, we're doing those things right now, and I think you're seeing the results.
Bo Nix, Coach, let's talk about that quarterback from Auburn. He's made big strides since he was a freshman, very inconsistent son of Patrick Nix. Very inconsistent, I thought, as a freshman. I thought more of the same as sophomore year, but he's really flashed this year. He's shown an ability to elevate his game, and that's not unusual for a junior to really, you know, make big jumps, especially third year starting. Tell us what you see on tape from him.
Well, I mean, Patrick's all – I mean, I said Patrick, his dad, because I coached his dad. But Bo's as talented as the guys are in this league, has been since he's been here. And it's just a matter of time. Like I say, you need saddle time to understand how to do things. And he had some struggles at the beginning of this year. There were some struggles and some things they did. But now he's really hit a stride. You know, they're playing very much like we are right now as far as how their seasons went, things that have happened. And they understand how to play. And Bo's been there a long time. And he's playing really good football. He's athletic. He can make all the throws. They run quarterback runs with him. And he's very hard to get on the ground. He's playing good football. He's making great decisions with the ball. And the other thing is they got – and Bigby, the big tailback, is doing a really good job. And they've gotten better up front. They're up front people. And, and they've added tight ends to the mix. I guess they get catches out of them, and then they're playing good football on offense, and defensively they're doing the same thing.
Jimbo Fisher with us here, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. I went to the Auburn LSU game, Coach, and I got to tell you, I mean, I'm sure you watched that film. That dude is so – Bo Nix is so slippery. It was unbelievable how many times you think you've got him, and how he can escape that and elongate plays. How difficult is that for defensive linemen, especially when you think you got them in your grasp and that dude just slips away?
No, Dennis, it's like when you play Bryce Young. I mean, those guys, you got to get them on the ground. They create plays with the legs. It's the added plays, and I think that's where the discipline of when you tackle, you got to wrap up, be strong, got to get multiple guys there, and you also have to be disciplined in your rush lane. It's not always getting a sack. Sometimes caving the pocket in, staying disciplined in what you do, making high throws, get balls tipped, do things of that nature that can cause problems. I mean, I think you have to have different variations. You got to give them different looks and way you do it, but you got to get him on the ground. And he's very competitive. That's the one thing Bo is. He's a very competitive young man. And
Coach, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I think we just lost John for a second. It's Jimbo Fisher with us, head coach at Texas A&M. Coach, when you get to this stage of the season, a lot of times you're looking at, and I know no one's completely healthy, and I know there's different cliches you can throw out there, but how is your squad right now from a health standpoint as you head down the stretch of the season?
Well, we're a heck of a lot better than we were at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting guys back now. We're doing those things, and for the most part, we are pretty healthy. I mean, more so than we have been. I mean, we've had a lot of guys that are out for the season. I mean, we had those things, and you know, we had quite a few of those. I mean, that's the early year, like the early, we had 9 starters out at the beginning of the year. And then now we still got guys to be, you know, season-ending things, but we're getting a lot of guys back and adding depth. And then also your freshmen are growing up. Some of your young sophomores are growing up that you feel like you feel comfortable getting guys in the game for 10, 15, 20, 25 plays or whatever it may be and doing things. So we feel in that regard probably we're healthier right now than we have been. And, yeah, I think it's showing.
How are you happy with what you're getting from Weidermeyer? Talented player. Production, I'm looking at the numbers based on – you know, about on pace with what he's done the last couple of years, but looks like he could maybe a little higher than the last couple of years. What are your thoughts on Jalen Weidermeyer?
I think he plays better every week. He's getting better and better every week. And also, you got to remember, I mean, you went through a quarterback change. I mean, anytime you go through a quarterback change, a lot of your skill guys are very, and we're running the football very well. So, I mean, there's different ways, and the numbers don't always mean catches and touchdowns. I mean, there's different blocks, there's different things you're doing to help the team. And like I say, it's the things that, when you don't have the ball, to me, it also adds to your value as a player, too. So, and I think right now he's doing a really nice job.
Jimbo Fisher with us, brought to you by Maris Barbecue right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, I don't know the how Zach Calzada has progressed through the year. Have you seen him from when he started to where he is now, where he is with this team, and what kind of leadership role? How far do you think he's progressed so far?
Well, big time. I mean, I think it's production. I mean, leadership goes into production. People aren't going to follow if you're not productive. You can say leadership all you want, but at the end of the day, it gets to be production, and can you do it? Can you make plays? And that takes time. I mean, Zach had to go through the process of knowing that he can do it, win those big games, make all the throws. And, you know, play and need saddle time, just like Bo has improved. I mean, just like all those guys. Zach made 7 touchdowns. He had 3 picks the last one, but he's also thrown 7 touchdowns. Made a lot of great. He does a really good job on third down. Our third down percentages are what we're doing here recently have done better. And he's growing as a player. And as he does that, his leadership is going to grow because his confidence is going to grow. And I think we're playing also better around him. I think some of the lineman issues, which we had early in the year, when also, yeah, I remember when he was doing that, we had all a bunch of freshman linemen, a bunch of guys getting in the mix that were playing that, you know, it was a big rotation that guys hadn't played. And when they're in, not as consistent, and also at receiver, when they're not as consistent, it doesn't allow your production. I mean, so it all goes back. I mean, it's a team oriented, and we're getting better. We're getting guys with more experience. The young linemen are playing better. He's playing better. Receivers are being more consistent. Like I say, Jalen's doing, and we're running the football better, which helps. So I think he's growing each and every practice, and I think he had a good day. He had a good last couple of weeks.
Another spotlight game for the Aggies, 2:30 on CBS. That is the prime spot for SEC football game. So that's great, Coach, and congratulations and best of luck on Saturday taking on Auburn. We appreciate you being here once again, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right.
Have a great day.
There's Jimbo Fisher with us here every week on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. I was talking with Yanni yesterday, as a matter of fact. His cousin, who does the catering and runs the catering side of Damaris Barbecue, is here. And he cashed in the Super Senior event, Lance.
How's
that?
Did?
Yeah, he cashed in the Super Senior. I did not cash last night. I got knocked out with my set over flush, beat my set, but that's just life and poker life. That's what happens. So there's nothing that you can do about it, Lance. You move on. You lick your wounds and you move on.
So Aaron, so John sent us a text yesterday about maybe having to go a little late. So, you know, in 2019, really it's been the last 3 years where I fly in, or I guess it was 17, 18, 19, where I'd fly into LA to do during the draft to do, you know, weeks to do 2-3 days of the show. The last week, a draft week, I'd do like 4 days of the show. I get like 3 hours of sleep the night of the draft on the next day. And it sucks. It sucks doing shows West Coast. It was even worse when I had a 6 a.m. show and I had to be West Coast. That was awfully tough. But you've been waking up to do this show. You're in Vegas. So you're West Coast. And you had a text like, next year, I'm supposed to be up until 1 a.m. That's Vegas time. 1 a.m. I'm supposed to do and then I have to do a 5 a.m. show. Bleep this show next year. You know, you said, bleep this show. So Aaron's like, do you think he was telling the truth? Is he just not going to show up today? I'm like, no. I said, no, he's always, come rain or shine. He's like a postman. Come Coors Light or shine or no sleep. John always shows up in a chair.
I'll be there.
He'll be on here. I don't know what version we'll get. We'll get some version of John. It's like Emi. You always see him in every game in the postseason. He's always there. You just don't know. You know, you may not know what you're going to get. It's kind of like Zach Greinke. You're like the Zach Greinke sometime. We just don't know what John we're going to get.
Well, I'm more like Emi in the postseason. That's what I am. Okay? When you need him most.
Well, I mean, think about it, John. The last time I did a show with you, we were on in the afternoon. So you were just coming in right off the golf course.
Oh, that's
about
a problem.
38, 39 Coors Lights in. And you always rocked it, but, you know, waking up early, it's not for everybody anymore.
No, but I've been doing it for 20-some years, so you get used to it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm doing it from my room here, so as soon as I'm done, bam, right on the couch, and it's over.
And there's nothing better than the blessing of doing it from your own room. I remember doing the show when I had COVID. There's nothing like being able to just hit connect and lay down. I mean, it's so much. But we should just do shows from our rooms.
We should do is get beds in the studio.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Lay down and do the show.
I want to relax the back, one of those like zero gravity chairs where I get to lay down and my legs are up at a certain angle and you got no pressure on your lower back. Those are the best.
No, and we should have some masseuses in there.
Yep.
So, poker.
And
poker.
Breakfast delivered.
Yeah, every time. Yeah. Breakfast delivered every time.
So what are we doing? Where's the sales staff? How hard is this to put together?
Lazy.
Relax the back, a massage company, and somebody to do breakfast.
Yeah.
That's three things. What's so hard?
And Yuval, make us some beds.
Yeah. Okay. What's so hard?
Yeah, it's not that hard. Let's go. All right, 713-780-3776. On the other side, Coach Cully had some interesting – is it? Yeah.
Always
745
does.
Is Michael Kelly, right?
Yeah.
So Coach Cully had something interesting to say about – how good his players are. We'll talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Your Houston Astros battle the Atlanta Braves in Game 6 of the World Series. First pitch is Tuesday at 7:09. Catch all the action right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now, back to the bench. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is not a Blast of Texans segment. This is more of a reality check. The good news is, Lance, the power rankings came out. ESPN's power rankings for the NFL came out, and the Texans weren't last. They were not last.
Oh,
not
man,
after
that's good to hear.
Not,
that's good news.
Not after Detroit's performance against the Eagles on Sunday.
Yeah, it's good.
While the Texans covered, which exceeded expectations for a football team, because they covered a 16.5-point spread. So big ups to our team. Oh man, that you commented on Steph Stradley's picture of the tailgate of the Raging Bull tailgate.
I mean, there's two pictures. Vanessa Richardson from Channel 2 taken a picture that showed literally nobody on her row for TV. She said she was of the seven stations. I talked to her a little bit last night or just texted. Of the seven TV stations in town, that's including Spanish television stations, seven total, she was the only, she said, I was literally the only one who was there to cover the game. It was unbelievable. Just a picture of empty. And that place used to be packed. Like the press box, the press box was packed. The seats were all filled. There was always a rush to get to the food at halftime. You knew the deal. I mean, it's just typical media stuff. Now, nothing. What was more shocking, John, was Steph Stradley's picture. Why don't you tell people what it looked like and where it was?
Well, obviously the tailgate. The tailgate has been awesome. Listen, the Texans tailgate is as good as anywhere. I've been to every stadium and seen all the tailgates and everything, and the Texans was just fantastic. And the Raging Bull is,
one of the best of the best.
Yeah, the best. I mean,
it was multiple tents. It'd be like four or five tents put together, a great big trailer.
The band.
With a smoker. They'd have a band, like Sweet Miller would play.
Yeah.
All of his guys. He'd
have an RV.
Oh, yeah. It was.
He'd be
it took
on top
up,
of it.
They had to buy multiple parking spaces to have all the room that they had.
Yeah.
And it was the party for not just Texans. Any Texans fans could go, but also opposing fans. John, the picture we saw was a single sad tent and like five people there and a couple of kids running and playing catch with a Nerf ball. It was the saddest thing I've ever seen.
They could play a whole football game with all the parking spots that were empty. I mean, It's sad what just happened to this organization. And it's in large part because of, what the product on the field. And Coach Culley yesterday was asked, here's the question. If you don't have the questionnaire, I'll give it to you. You got the whole thing. Okay, here is the last question of yesterday's press conference.
A couple questions about the trade deadline tomorrow, but, in the past you've talked about rotating players and trying to find someone and see if that's there. I mean, to be the competitive team you want to be, are the players that are on the roster the team that can do that, or are there players off the roster?
No, the players on the roster are good enough to do competitively what we need to do.
What now?
We have not done a good enough job of, first of all, putting them in position consistently to do that and coaching it to do that. But, yes, they are here on this football team.
Well,
okay.
Are you sure about that, DC?
Okay.
Are you sure about that?
No. Okay, so, are they good enough to win? I mean, the answer was they are. If you listen to him, he says, yes, they are good enough to do competitively or something of that nature. Something like that, he said.
What are we doing?
And then it was, the players are here. Play Culley's answer again, because it's funny. Even coaches learn to double talk, okay? So here's the question is, are these players good enough to win?
I can do that, or are there players off the roster?
No, the players on the roster are good enough to do competitively what we need to do. We have not done a good enough job of, first of all.
That's good. You can stop it. To do competitively what we need to do. I don't know what that
means.
I've never heard that term.
I don't know what that means.
To do competitively.
He's getting good, in that they're good enough to win. No. Now maybe he's right. They're good enough to do competitively what we need them to do, which is lose football games.
Oh, well, that's kind of how
Problem is the word competitively is a problem because they're not competitive in any way, shape, or form.
Well, second half point spread would this backdoor cover would say that's a lie. That would say that's a lie. By the way, today's the NFL trade deadline. I want to get into it a little bit more with Sage Rosenfels later in the show. But Deshaun Watson, here's Chris Mortensen, as a matter of fact, talking about Deshaun Watson and the trade deadline. It looked like there was something. I've even heard that they had there was compensation was figured out between the two teams, but somewhere there was a breakdown in the supply chain. Somewhere along the way here in the supply chain of the trade of Deshaun Watson to Miami, something broke down at some point. Because last week, a very bad sign is when Brian Flores said Tua is our quarterback for the rest of the year. He had never committed to that this entire time. And when he said that, I knew something had happened behind the scenes. My guess is some of it had to do with the legal issues. But here's Chris Mortensen talking about the likelihood of Deshaun Watson being a Texan for the rest of the way.
Deshaun Watson is basically only approved Miami as his destination. Now, we mentioned that as it heads to the deadline, would he open up? But who's willing to pay the price? And it really was, I think, 50-50 that he could be traded or not traded. Nick Castario, the GM of the Texans, wants to hold and stick to his price. And the owner would certainly, I think, prefer to move on. So we'll see what happens. Deadlines have a tendency to make something happen. But my expectation is that he'll still be a Texan.
Good.
Well,
good, because that means that Nick is going to hold out for value. And once we hit the offseason, these weirdos on my timeline, like, if you don't give him up, he's going to go to prison. Just get anything you can for him right now. And then when you look, they're not even like Texans fans. They're fans of other fan bases, or they're national. You know, it's like, no, you don't get a say so. You're not even a Texans fan. What do you mean? Just trade him. Just please help him. Help him get out, please. Please. No. You going to keep him next year too? Yeah, no. Well, in the offseason, more teams will be involved. And at some point, Deshaun can either approve to additional teams or he can just keep sitting out. And instead of just sitting out, what you do if you're the Texans is you play him next year. You have the balls to play him. And what that will do is force his hand. You're either going to play, you're going to open up your – if you want to get traded, you're going to open up your list of teams – or you don't play and we don't have to pay you. Those are the options. That's what should be happening.
Well, and I think even the bigger news yesterday, Mike Florio, Texans have caught wind of the growing possibility that the 22 civil lawsuits against Watson would be settled. Since there would be no legal uncertainty, the Texans front office raised their asking price.
Yeah.
According to Florio, increased demands caused the talks to crater.
That would make sense. And you know, John, I told you, I think I said it here on the air too, but what I heard behind the scenes is that this is like going to like the legal stuff was not going to be an issue, and then Ian Rappaport said, well, John McClain's reporting is going to cause problems because Tony Busby's going to ask for more money and this, that, and the other. But I don't think that was the case. I don't think that we would have heard that this deal was getting close to being done if the legal issues were a big stumbling block. So I had heard that was, you know, I was like, I told the wrong information? But that makes sense what you're saying, and that basically what you're telling me, or what Mike Florio was telling us, was that Casario is saying, you know what, we're going back to our original asking price, as if Deshaun Watson for sure is going, you know, there's no holdups other than whatever you're going to have to fade from a suspension standpoint, and you should not give anyone discounts for that.
No, you're paying
$27 million signing bonus. No discounts.
All right, when we come back, Michael Kelly, we got him. He's a huge Braves fan. We're going to have to give him the business. And still ahead, we'll talk about the trade deadline, the biggest guys out there, because today's the deadline. And Michael from Peace Fine Meats wants to give away $150 worth of meat today.
Oh,
so
is that
keep
it?
On listening. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's going to happen right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, you can cook outside in your patio, Lance.
Texas Custom Patios makes it so easy as they build a patio for you. They can build your outdoor kitchen in there with your grill built into it, infrared grill, gas grill, whatever you're looking for. They can build it into your kitchen, a cutting there. Can you imagine having your outdoor kitchen, a cooktop, refrigerator out there, small refrigerator to take care of you? The grill out there, some seating at a separate island. Whatever you can conceive, they can achieve for you. They build it with it starts with their CAD drawings and Steve and Shell, his design team. You'll see exactly what your patio is going to look like. They can help you, you know, come up with a concept. They can do the entire thing for you like they did for me. But if you have an idea of what you want, they'll make it a reality for you. And if you want to get more than you thought you wanted to get, they can finance that for you. They can do it any way that you want. I can tell you this, once you get it, you're going to be so happy because it really adds an element to your home that you may not have thought was possible. Having that extra bonus space is such a big, big win, especially when that weather gets nice like it is right now. make sure you go to TexasCustomPatios.com. Take a look at the before and afters and see what your backyard could look like. Or if you want to see what mine looked like before and after, go to TCPLance.com.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. When I'm not playing rugby, I'm listening to John and Lance on the bench. Go Sabercats.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You got him or no? All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Working on getting Michael Kelly with us here on the show. Big Braves fan. Lance had him on his podcast with Eric Layden. So, and he's apparently a real... You got him? Michael Kelly joining us right now here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You may know him better as Doug Stamper. I know him better as Gary Talbot from Law and Order, but whatever the name.
Gary Talbot.
That's right. That's you damn right. I might as well be a lawyer as much Law and Order. Before we talk about how the Astros are going to beat the Braves' ass, Michael, how about names? Like the names that you get for roles, like what are the best? And like Dr. Edgar Dumbarton. Were you like, really? Is that going to be my name?
That I was kind of like, wow, that's a name. Is it Dumbarton or is it Dumbarton or is it
Dumbarton? Right.
I'm looking at your entire work. It's good to have you back on, Michael. Really looking forward to talking some baseball with you as well. But I know you're tight with Eric Layden. We had you on our podcast from the Generation Kill time. But, you know, the House of Cards was a great run for you. The Comey rule been out. And then Jack Ryan was a big get for you. That was something we were talking about during our podcast.
How ironic is it that he's Mike November when the Braves are going to fall apart in November?
We hope
that, yeah,
they lost to the end of October.
And I hope it's good luck.
But it's been a very good run for you from an acting standpoint. You know, we talked about how it took a while for you, but you know, once you hit your stride out of nowhere, you've become a strong working actor with some great roles and great parts, and it's something that I know that you know, from our previous conversations, it's been fun for you to really hit your stride at this point of your life.
Yeah, man, I feel incredibly grateful, man, and you know, I think back and I'm like, wow, if I'd have hit in my 20s, I don't know that I would have had any lasting ability from that because of the way I was as a 20-year-old man in New York City as a wild man. So I think it's good it happened to me later in life.
What was that like to live in? I've always wondered that, like what in a second life living in New York as a 20-year-old, what was that like?
I mean, it was incredible, man. I was playing in a band. I was pursuing acting. I was waiting tables. I went up there with two buddies from Georgia and you know, you could do it back then. I moved up there with $880 in my pocket. And we made it work. You know, you got a job and you hustled and you could do it. Kids today, you know, I have this conversation with my acting friends all the time. It's like, if you try to move to New York City now, like rent, you can't even, if you don't have the assistance of your folks, you can't do it anymore. And will that breed a different type of quote unquote struggling artist? You know, like, they won't be struggling because it's going to be given to them because you can't do it that way anymore. So I feel grateful to have been one of the probably the last generations to be like, let's go to New York City and go for it. Like now it's like, let's take a look in the city and go for it.
Michael Kelly with us here on ESPN 97.5, Doug Stamper from House of Cards and many other things here, a big Braves fan. So that's why we wanted to get you on here today to talk about this game. You know, the it's amazing where the Braves started this year and where they are. The bullpen was a disaster, Michael, earlier in the year, blowing all kinds of games. It was just, and now here towards the end of the season, now the bullpen. What do you think about your bullpen when you got, you know, you got you guys coming in now? Are you feel secure? Or are you a little bit worried every time he makes a move?
It's funny, you know, they hit you guys hit Minter for really the first time in the playoffs. He got hit the other night, and I, you know, I'm wondering, I'm like, has he been, and I figure he probably just been overused a little, right? And heavily relied on because we don't have the starters losing Morton and everything. So these guys, like, I have certainly have a lot more confidence now than I do back in June, July. That was the train wreck. And to see what, you know, I'll also be honest and tell you, I texted my father and my brother every game, and I remember around the trade deal, and I was like, I think a lot for every year, obviously. Struggling to get above 500. I was one of the ones who was like, it might be better just to trade with some guys and stack it up for next year when Acuna's back. But what they did, I did blows my mind. And
yeah,
I don't sweat it as much as it, to answer your question.
Well, you know, it's when you get a Matzik and Will Smith, you feel like you're in great shape. Matzik has turned into. It's funny how every postseason gives a team a chance to have a player or two where a narrative develops about that player and a certain swagger develops. And for the Astros, it's been Phil Maton, who was just kind of a middling reliever. And for the Braves, I mean, Tyler Matzik looks like when he comes in the game, I'm just thinking, well, that's it. Nothing's going to happen this inning. I mean, it's funny how that will develop over a postseason where you just see guys and you think, ugh, not this guy again.
Wow, the phone is just.
Yeah. Let's call Michael back and see if we.
Yeah, we're having a little problem with that phone. Hopefully he can get somewhere where he's got some better reception, because that's tough to hear.
Last year when we did the podcast with him, he had a place, or he's renting a place, or had a place in like Idaho or Wyoming or something like that, and so it was kind of a same deal where he didn't have the. Of course, that was internet connection. We were doing it through StreamYard or something like that, Zencaster, but. We'll see. Well, he's a for real Braves fan. Like, we'll start talking about the bullpen with you and breaking down things, because he's been a lifelong Braves fan and Falcons fan. We talked about the Super Bowl. You know, I gotta think, if you're an Atlanta fan, you've had some pretty good heartbreak between the Braves winning one World Series during their entire dominant run, and now you get here, you had the Falcons lose in the fourth quarter. You can have a little pucker going on right now, don't you, with two games to go?
Oh, absolutely they do. Especially what they saw.
Well, fans do. Fans do. Yeah, fans have to. I don't know about the players, but
no.
Fans have to be puckered up a little bit.
Question. After 28-3, is he a Falcons fan too?
Oh, yeah. No, he's an Atlanta. No, he's from Georgia. He's an Atlanta sports fan, period. So, yeah, he's a Falcons fan too. So you have that fourth quarter pucker, and then you have the Braves unable to finish in World Series runs, and then you have you know, this now all of a sudden in this series, you got to be getting a little nervous.
Is it Aaron, you got him back yet?
No, he's still working on it.
I
think they're working on getting a better line.
Yeah, so they got to get some kind of a better phone. So the Astros outscored the Braves 9-1. What if in the last three games the Astros go on a 28-3 run?
What if the Astros go on a 28-3 run?
That'd be now that's really possible, because 28-3, okay, is like the worst numbers in Atlanta history. You know what that's referred to, Lance, right?
What's that referred to?
It's referred to the Falcons.
Oh no, the Super
Patriots
Bowl,
game.
Well, I thought you had a name for it.
No. It's
like
the Falcons.
Dead Patriots. Man's Corner or something.
No, it's
like
28-3.
Yeah, okay. Right. No, I knew that's what it was. I didn't.
The Patriots even have that on their rings.
Yeah, that was rude.
That was
hey,
really.
Hey, Michael said we're going to try Michael Kelly. He's just driving out of the zone near his house, but we'll get him back on to finish our conversation here in the next segment. Yeah, we'll do
all
that.
Right, we'll do that.
I thought there was a nickname, like, you know what that's called. I thought you were going to have like the Falcons Fury, or I don't know, the Patriots Pounding. I don't know what it's called.
No.
It's just a basic score, yeah.
Well, listen, it's a possibility that the Astros outscore them 28-3 in these last three games. And so it would be, I think, totally, totally sweet. And not all that tutti-frutti for Atlanta. But I'll tell you what, we're going to try to get them on the other side. But first, we're going to talk about GimmeTheVin.com. That's GimmeTheVin.com. That's my man, John Clay Wolf. John Clay Wolf is just he's just the best. Here's the reason is because he gives you more money than other people. If somebody gives you more money for whatever you do, if you get more money, don't you like, I mean, you just like them more, right? I mean, and you can overlook stuff that they say because John Clay Wolf says a lot of stuff that you have to overlook sometimes. But here's the deal is you can't overlook it because he's giving you more money. Like we talked about this all the time. Are you worth it? Are you worth it? And John Clay Wolf is so worth it. Not only is he funny, but he's also a guy that gives you more money for your automobile. That's crazy. Why would he give you more than even the value of it? What it's worth? Because he's nuts. First of all, he's crazy. So if you're looking for the most money that you can get for your vehicle, and if you can't beat CarMax, then he's going to send you $100. That's a guarantee. If he can't beat CarMax, he'll send you $100. You go to GiveMeTheVin.com. You want to sell your car? Go to GiveMeTheVin.com.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.